Saga Egmont presents Flying the Flag, The Footballing Heroines of the Home Nations Who Made History Abroad by Carrie Dunn, read by Rebecca Ward. To four of my favourites, Chris, David, Diana, Sam, thank you for your support and your friendship and for always listening to my football stories, even when you didn't want to. Prologue. Raising the Flag. For every superstar female footballer earning a living from her skill, there are thousands of others who have spent thousands of pounds of their own money purely for a chance to play the game. Take, for example, Mary Earps, part of the wonderful Lionesses squad who won the UEFA Women's Euro in 2022. Her attitude and her humour are appealing to many fans, especially young women, and it was no wonder people were delighted when she was named BBC Sports Personality of the Year in 2023. She is now a household name and secured a high-profile move to European giants Paris Saint-Germain in 2024. But when she was saving penalties in the Women's World Cup finals in the summer of 2023, she was already 30 years old. She had been part of Manchester United's inaugural squad who competed in the Women's Super League in 2019. But many people may not know that she had spent time in Germany at the legendary VfL Wolfsburg prior to that. And for those who follow women's football, it is verging on common knowledge that by the end of the 2023-24 season, Lucy Bronze had won 5 Champions League titles, 3 with Lyon in France, 2 in Barcelona in Spain. People may even know that she, like her younger England teammates Lotte Wubben-Moy and Alessia Russo, spent her college years at the university in North Carolina in the United States. But do they know about the women who pursued a college education in the United States before the turn of the millennium? Women's football has long taken a backseat in England. The Lionesses' success in successive summers in 2022 and 2023 grabbed plenty of attention, not least because there were no men's tournaments to distract from their achievements. The domestic Women's Super League is beginning to capture its own audience, but although many appear to think that its success has been a supernova, it has been a slow build. It has only been populated by solely full-time professional teams and players for a handful of seasons, and when it was launched, back in 2011, it was a closed league with no relegation or promotion, and plenty of tight rules around contracts and salaries to ensure that top-tier talent was fairly distributed in an effort to guarantee a competitive spectacle. Indeed, it is worth noting that long-standing global rules have defined a professional footballer as one who earns more than her basic expenses from the game, probably not the definition that most fans would come up with. Telling the stories of the women who played football prior to 2011 is crucial, not least because there were generations who were doing this in the face of what amounted to a wholesale ban. In 1921, the FA issued a memo to its member clubs telling them that football was a game quite unsuitable for females and forbidding them to allow women to play on their pitches. Where England led, other countries followed. Yet women's football had been thriving prior to this. The famous factory teams of the Great War period, such as Dick Carr Ladies, attracted big crowds as they raised funds for war charities. Even earlier, the British Ladies, headed up by Lady Florence Dixie and Captain Nettie Honeyball, had embarked on world tours, often opening people's eyes to the very concept that women could play football. It is worth noting that even those women who were attracting big crowds were not necessarily also attracting positive sentiments. There were continual murmurs that playing football was not a ladylike activity and that it could cause permanent physical damage to women. The usual concern was that it might prevent them from bearing children and taking up their proper domestic place. Many of these early players and teams were at pains to present themselves as traditionally feminine and to show that they were not taking their sport too seriously, instead treating it as a novelty spectacle intended to raise money for good causes. But, of course, many other women did take their football seriously, and the idea that they were no longer permitted to play was heartrending.